Welcome to the daily International OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Rabbi Phil Karish of the Orthodox Union, filling in for Naftali Herman while he's on break. Thank you so much to each of you for joining today's call on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, the 17th day of Tishrei. Thank you as well to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the Tehillim and Chizuk daily email. If you'd like to sponsor future calls, we are always grateful and appreciative for your support. Please feel free to visit our website at ou.org/call to sponsor. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Shaman Gelman, Mara D'Astra, the rabbi of Kehilas Chobavei Tzion in Skokie, Illinois, to share Dibrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Gelman slowly reciting our daily dose of Tehillim, three prakim, three chapters, chapters 23, 121, and 130. That's prakim kaf gimel, kuf chaf aleph, and kuf lamed, which will be followed by the mishaberach for cholim and achenu. We'll conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Gelman to learn a little bit more about his community, and for me to have another conversation with an old friend as he and I learned together for smicha in Yeshiva University. Please stay tuned afterwards as well for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, b'chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Gelman.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Karish. And a good moed. It is a pleasure to be here with you and to join you. Just want to make sure that you can hear me coming across the line clearly.
Loud and clear.
All right. A good moed to everyone. I want to share with you an idea that I shared with my congregation this Yontif, and an idea that I think is not only relevant every year, and relevant in our lives beyond Sukkot, but particularly this year, with all that is going on in the world and in our community. How do we celebrate the Simchat Beit HaShoeva? How do we resonate with the type of joy that is so foreign to us? Because we don't have the temple. We don't have that kind of celebration which is described in great detail, with great merriment and great excitement and fanfare in the Gemara in Sukkot and Talmud. Hillel the Elder, once said, "Im anitan hakoltan." But how does he celebrate the Simchat Beit HaShoeva? He says, "If I am here, then everyone is here. V'im ein anitan, and if I am not here, mitan, then there is no one else who is here." In other words, said Hillel in the Gemara in Sukkah, Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, that it's only a party when I arrive. If I am present, the party has begun. If I'm not here, then there really is no cause of celebration. This is a bold, audacious statement as it is, but when trying to understand Hillel's statement in the context of everything we know about Hillel, it becomes that much more perplexing. After all, the Pirkei Avos tells us in the first chapter that Hillel said, "Hu haya omer, negid shema, Avod Shmei," that if you run after renown and recognition, you will lose your name. If you run after kavod, if you run after acclaim, recognition, you run after, seek opportunities to be recognized as the center of the party, and ultimately you will lose that recognition that you seek. One who runs after kavod does not get that kavod. Kavod runs away from such a person. And that is Hillel's statement. Beyond that, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Hillel was the very prototype, very prototypical example of anivut, of humility. Le'olam yehe adam anvason ki Hillel v'alyehe kapdan kishama. You should be humble, like Hillel, and not a kapdan, not the opposite, not someone who stands up for your own honor, like Shammai did from time to time. How is it possible that this same person, Hillel, who is described as someone who runs away from Kabbalah, who tells everybody that you should run away from honor, Hillel, who is praised by the Chazal for being someone who is humble beyond anyone else in his era, someone maybe paralleled almost like Moshe Rabbeinu, is the very person who celebrates the Simchas Beis HaShoeva by proclaiming on a megaphone, "Im ani kan hakol kan." If I have arrived, then the party has begun. And if I'm not here, then you have no reason to celebrate. How is that the humble prototype of an individual that we know and love in Hillel, Hazaken, in Hillel, the elder. So I think the answer is that there's a type of celebration that Hillel is hinting at that has nothing to do with arrogance or being the center of the party. Hillel is saying that sometimes a party is not about what you do, but rather just being there. Hillel is suggesting that the reason we celebrate and the Hechi Timsi, the means of celebration on Sukkot, is by being present, by just being there. You know, there's a interesting halachic question that I dealt with recently, and that is, normally when you don't see a close friend or relative for 30 days or for a year, there's a special bracha, a special blessing that is recited. For 30 days, you make a shehati anu, and for a whole year, you make a machayeh hamekim, as if God has revived that person from the dead, because you don't know how they've been. And there's a question that is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah and later commentators as to whether this blessing is recited nowadays when you have the ability to check in on someone with telephone, letters, telephone, and even today on video conferencing and Zoom. And the question is even more relevant during the coronavirus era when we haven't seen close relatives and friends for many, many months, some 9 months to a year, and maybe we would make the bracha upon seeing them. But in this case, we've Zoomed with them almost daily. We've had phone conferences. We've had FaceTime and other videos and phone calls that we know that they're doing all right, and we've seen them. So the question is brought down, do we say the bracha, or do we not recite the Shechianu upon seeing them? I saw in the tshuva of Yechav Adas of Rav Avadia Yosef of Blessed Memory, who points out in the name of several commentators, several achronim, that there might be reason to say, even if you did Zoom with a person, or even if you did have a video site of a person over the course of a month or a year. And he suggests that the reason is because the bracha of Shechianu is recited based on the joy you exhibit when you come face-to-face with a person and you're in close proximity. It's not a joy about seeing a person, per se. It's the joy that is derived from being close and being present with another person who love and care. And for that reason, even a person who lo aleinu is blind might be able to still say the bracha, though he'll never be able to see a close relative of a friend, because it's not about seeing them with your eyes, it's about being present and experiencing the joy of being present. If only we understood the power of being present in people's lives, we would understand the real secret of the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, of the joy that is described in the words of Hillel, Hazaki Imani Kan HaKolcha. Sometimes we try to make a party meaningful for someone by bringing the fanciest gifts, by making the loudest noise, by cracking the best joke, by making sure when someone is sick, God forbid, what can I do, and sending the biggest bouquet of flowers, the best meal. The reality is, sometimes all it takes to make a difference in someone's life is not to make a big splash, but to be present. And in an era in which presence is such a rare commodity, such a difficult thing to come about, we have to understand the joy of presence, the simcha of finally being able to be in the same room as someone who you haven't seen, who you haven't been in the same room as for so long. Of course, all the technology we have is a wonderful gift, but on that day that we can actually be present with people that we miss, that is a real source of simcha. Let us try to be present in each other's lives, to be present with our children, with our parents, with our relatives, to be present with the people in our community that we love and we are supposed to care about. Because presence is the real source of comfort in a time of difficulty, and presence is the real source of joy in a time of celebration. I would like to now move to say the Tehillim. We will say Tehillim, three Tehillim together. For those who are ill, first, Tehillim Kaf Kimmel 23, then Tehillim 121, Kuf Aleph, and then Tehillim 130, Kuf Lamed. Say it slowly, and you can follow along.
Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Roi Lo Echsar, Vinos Deshe Yarbi Tzeni, Amei Menuchos Yina Haleni, Nafshi Yeshoveiz, Yancheni B'Magli Tzedek L'man Shemo, Gam ki elech v'geit tam aves, lo ira roa, ki ata imadi, shiftecha u mishatecha,
We're now moved to Tehillim 121, Kuf Chof Aleph.
Shir Hamalos,
Esainai El Harim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, Ezri Me'im Adonai, Oste Shamayim Varet, Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Hayanim Shomecha, Hine Lo Yanum Velo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shomecha, Adonai Tzilcha Ayad Yeminecha, Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakeka V'Yareach Halayla, Adonai Yishmor Chamikora Yishmor Es Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzitzcha Uvorecha, Me'ata Ve'ad Olam. We're now going to move to Tehillim Kuf Lamed 130.
Shir Hamalos, Imamakim Krasich Adonai, Adonai Shima B'Koli, Tieno Zecha Kashuvos Lekol Tachanunai, Imavonos Tishmorya, Adonai Miyamod, Kimcha Aslicha Leman Kivarei, Kivisi Adonai Kizva Nafshi, Elidoro Ochanti, Nafshi Adonai Mishomrim Laboker, Shomrim Laboker, Yachel Yisrael El Adonai, Im Adonai HaChesed, V'Harvei Imal Fidus, V'Hu Yifteh Es Yisrael, Mikol Avonosav. As I recite the Mishnah Berurah for Cholim, as a prayer for those who are ill, I will pause for a number of seconds to allow you to insert the name of those who are in need of a speedy recovery. Mishnah Berurah Avosenu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe Aaron David U'Shlomo Hu Yivarech V'Yirapeh Cholim. Ba'avur shaklam ispam ba'avuram bispar zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yimalei rachamim aleihem la'achrimam ul'rafosam ul'ahzikam ul'ahfiosam v'yishlach lahem meheira refuah shleima min hashamayim l'chol evareihem l'chol gideihem v'sof shar chole Yisrael refuah hanevesh refuah sagof hashta v'agala v'zman kariv v'nomar amen. Achenu po beis Yisrael hanesunim b'tzara uv'shivya ha'omdim v'en v'yam u'v'en v'yabasha ha'makom yirachem aleihem yotzi'em mitzara l'rvacha me'afela le'ora m'shivu le'geula ashta v'agala v'zman kari v'omar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Gelman. Very appreciative of your remarks and the Tehillim. Thank you very much. As we transition into the next part of the call, I just wanted to interview you in front of the hundreds of people who've joined us here today to learn a little bit about you and your community and some of the impact that that the world of COVID has caused for our shuls and our communities. But first and foremost, how are you and how are your family and how are your community holding up during these unique times?
Thank God. You know, we're like any other family. We have our ups and downs, and we've endured. What I've noticed is, in particular, my son is in need of a refuah shleima right now. He's in the hospital. I'm actually in the other room. His name is Zerachia Yehoshua ben Tzipora Fega. I ask everybody to have his name in mind. So, like everyone, you know, we have our times when we are thriving and times which are challenging. I think that one of the things that I found is that, surprisingly, or I guess not surprisingly, the corona era has not made individual challenges go away. In fact, in many cases, they've become amplified. So if a person, in the community, Lolina, struggles with anxiety, so now the anxiety might become even more challenging. And for some people,
It's the reemergence into society, slow as it may be, or coming back to school, or coming back into a work environment where they're live. For some people, this has been, an oasis away from some of those anxiety triggers, and now they're headed back into their regular environments, and all of the issues of peer pressure and all of the issues of looking over your shoulder and those fears have kind of come back. So for some people, the challenges have been amplified. For other people, the bigger challenge now is the reemergence. So I think that really speaks about life in general, but I think it does really have to do with some of the challenges that synagogues and schools face during this time, because we have like two groups that have developed. One group are the people who, either because of health problems or because of legitimate fears, are not able to reemerge even safely back into synagogue life. And they're still very much living sort of the extreme quarantine life. And then others who have come back to synagogue and back to school, and what they've come to discover is not what they've known and loved. It's a different world. And so there's that sort of, hey, I'm back, and yet we're expecting this big celebration, and the celebration does not look anything like what they remembered and loved about Jewish community. But I think that also is the dual challenge that we're having right now. People who are still quarantining, people are still at home, and all that are sick, and then those people who have come back and yet are kind of surprised that what they found is not exactly what they hoped for.
Right, totally understood. Of course, davening for Refuah Shlema for Ziggy and for all of you and yours to rally around him and support him until he is completely healed in Yisrael. Sure.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask your perspective, knowing you for a decade plus more, 15 years that I've known you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. What are your thoughts? I also know you're very involved in the Chicago Rabbinical Council on the leadership there. What communal changes do you anticipate for the broader Jewish community in a post-COVID world? What changes will stay?
That's a great question. One of the subjects that one of the questions I asked in my Shabbos Shuva Drasha, one of the questions in the capacity of CRC, as well as in the shul that we ask regularly, look, there are certain conveniences that have kind of set in. So on the one hand, if you want to, God forbid, be a little bit cynical about it, so one of the things we clap off faith, the sin that I sinned, the onus of Ratzon, it means willingly and unwillingly. But one approach on this from the, I think it was the Sheikh Ahmed that points out that onus and Ratzon sometimes get intermingled. And the fact that I was not able to be in shul for so long, so that was against my will. I couldn't do anything about it. So I don't have to clap off faith for that. If I was stuck at home, if I was stuck and I couldn't do a mitzvah davening with a minyan, I couldn't give tzedakah because I didn't have the wherewithal, that's an onus. Ratzon is when I had the money and I decided not to give tzedakah. Ratzon is when I had the ability to be in shul and I decided it was inconvenient because I'd rather stay home. So one of the challenges is we're kind of intermingling those two worlds now. And the people who are the onus, they have an exemption. The people who willingly don't go and they want to be part of it, and they don't want to be part of it, but they can. So there's kind of like this gray area now between what really is against your will and what really is with your ratzon. Maybe I'm secretly happy that life has changed and I don't have the same communal and religious duties, obligations, at least on the faith, that I once had. The problem with this is no one can judge because no one really knows. No one knows what's in my heart. No one knows what's in your heart. The only one who knows is you and the Kaddish Baruch. And you have to decide everything you're doing, are you doing it L'shem Shemayim, or are you doing it because you have no choice? Nobody can point a finger in this era. Nobody can give a guilt trip. But Moshe Shmuz, really the question is, have you melded the world of onus and ratzon? My fear is that when all of this is over, it will have revealed that a lot of the quote-unquote cultural, social Judaism that had been coming to a head right before the outbreak will reveal that there is less consistency in a lot of our behavior and less dedication, because once we now see that all of this is bidyeved, I don't have to do X, Y, and Z when really times are critical, maybe we will have inadvertently sent a message to the community that things don't have to go back to what they were, at least structurally, religiously, from a tzedakah standpoint, from a tefillah standpoint. And that is frightening, and we're going to have to brace ourselves for that and then rebuild ourselves from scratch. I also think on the flip side, not to be cynical, is that some of the greatest values, some of the greatest attributes of who we are has emerged in this period. The unparalleled dedication, Mesirat Nefesh, and Chesed that has emerged in our community and beyond is incredible. And we've been resourceful and we've been creative. And there's no reason why, if Shiurim grew in number during this time because of the availability of Zoom, because people who were homebound were not able to attend beforehand, or because it was 3 feet of snow outside in Chicago, and now they can attend from the comfort of their home, we must continue these things because we've learned that our capacity for accomplishing good is even greater than we once thought. So on the one hand, yes, there's going to be a learning curve afterwards. We're going to have to see what we dropped and whether it's genuine or whether it's not genuine, and that's a self-assessment. On the other hand, all of the new tools, the ingenuity, the flexibility, the new drive and excitement that has been generated, that must continue beyond this point. And we're going to be richer for it because of it.
Very powerful dichotomy. That's remarkable. Thank you. So just one last question as we wrap up. Can you give us a little insight as to how your shul functioned on the first days of Sukkot? And what are your plans for what should have been a dance-filled day on Simchas Torah? How does your shul plan to execute that special day, maintaining on the one hand the Simcha of the Torah, and at the same time maintaining the need for safety and security as it relates to COVID?
That's a great question. You know, we've taken along the way sort of a halachic and a medical approach to this, and we view those to be synonymous. The notion of a shachat tzedakah, the notion that certain things are not required but can be done at home in the interest of time, expediency, as well as the interest of safety, is not an anti-halachic principle. It conforms within another mode of halacha. And under the guidance of our Gedolei Poskim, Shechter, Yada Reis here in Chicago, and others, we have shortened our tefillos. We've required sign-ups. We start from the end of Sukkot to Zimra, so that way we don't have as much time together. Obviously, social distancing and masks are required internally within the synagogue, even outside. We have outside minyanim that we've been conducting. We put up a tent at great expense the synagogue. And more minyanim, more offerings. So early offerings, outside, inside, later offerings. So by Yom Noroyim, you know, 6, 7, 8 minyanim going on throughout the morning. And similarly, to a lesser extent, though, you had that on Sukkot. When it comes to Hoshanos, so one of the things that's different for people, we asked the Balabatim to stay in place as one person, the Chazan, will circle around with the Lulav and Esrog and do the Hoshanos. Everybody else will stay in their place. Singing is more subdued. If anything, it's partially muted, and there's this quiet singing that takes place from behind the mask. And Simchas Torah, which is a holiday very much centered around togetherness, there's a lot of hand-holding and jumping up and down and singing and projecting and food. So a lot of that is not going to be present. And it will ask us to question, what is the source of the joy of Torah? And we've decided not only to minimize the hakapos, in which you'll have, instead of people going around, people will stay in place, and one person will revolve around the room, the chazan, and will sing one song per hakapa, kind of in a more subdued fashion. But because of the obvious chasm, the obvious absence in our lives, we're going to reemphasize Torah as a limud Torah, study of Torah. So we're going to have sign-ups in advance at 7 different stations in which people are focused, and then different teachers will move around to one group and speak for 5 minutes, and you'll have 7 hakapot of Divrei Torah as opposed to dancing and singing, which really is the centerpiece. And so, yes, it's true, the food and the dancing and the singing won't be front and center. Mirza Hashem will bring those back next year in full force. But Torah will certainly be at the center of the celebration this year, but in a different form. Instead of holding the Torah and learning it, I don't remember who said this, but you know, how can we celebrate on Simchas Torah if we didn't finish the Torah? Someone shows up several times a year for the holidays. The answer is you celebrate when
when your good friend has a siyum, has a party, has a wedding. So this year, we're all part of the celebration because we're all going to be studying Torah. And so maybe we'll experience that joy in a more profound and a deeper way this year.
Fascinating. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rabbi Gelman, for being on the call today and for providing us with a glimpse into your community. As with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your community, and especially with your son, for a continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah shalema for all those who are in need will be answered l'tova. And may the Ribono Shalom, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Nissan Antin of Beth Shalom Congregation in Potomac, Maryland. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.